cute.
I mean, if you love a felt garland, you really got to check it out because they're so cute.
I love a felt garland. And who doesn't love a felt garden? A felt garden
garland
too.
You guys, I love felt products. Is that weird? I love like a felt.
No.
I was going to say again, it's very big in the homeschool world. Felting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so cute.
It's so cute.
In October, I went to Syracuse to see my friend. And we went to this farmer's market and there was an alpaca farmer. Mm. And she had just like alpaca. Do you call it wool? Is it wool? Is it just alpaca?
I think so.
I don't know.
But I literally bought like boot warmers to put in my like little alpaca, like to put at the bottom of my boots, and some new dryer balls that were alpaca. And so they're brown and they just give me the joy that I feel every time I put those new dryer balls in my dryer. Mm-hmm. I think
it's unmatched.
this is proof that I'm 43 years old, that this is where my joys are coming from now, but love those alpaca balls.
I went to a little workshop, a felting workshop, where we used sheep wool and natural dyes. And I felt
all about it.
I felt very earthy. Yes. and matronly.
Are you going to make, will you make presents for your family out of
one day? Yes. One day.
You're not there yet.
not this year.
Remember December birthdays.
We talked about this last time, guys. December birthdays are
of how I need to show up for my children.
No felting.
And class parties, you know, now that I swear, I feel like I went from homeschool, we do school at home, to my kids do a hybrid. And now there's like class parties. And I'm like, I don't know how you full timers do it. There are things to be done in the holidays.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's now it's like recitals and choir
and a show
and the shows, and it's all the things. Mm-hmm. And when you have kids who do a lot of things, truly, then it's a lot of things happening.
And a lot of
kids. No, I'm not felting anybody anything for December.
But we love felt. Let's just say we love felt.
Leave it to the professionals, the professional felters.
Yes. Oh man. Okay, ladies. Should we get to it?
Let's get to it.
Okay. Enough of this. Let's shout some worth and shift some narrative for people with Down syndrome. It's time for our yearly holiday episode. Woo-hoo! Let's talk about navigating the holiday season with our families. Welcome, everybody, to the Lucky Few podcast.
All right, friends, holiday season. We're going to just jump right into a review, and then we're going to talk about all the things that the three of us will be talking about for this episode. This review comes from J. Jess B., who says, "My family is new to Down syndrome, and I look forward to this podcast coming out each week because I always learn something new. Thank you for leading the charge and shifting the narrative and inspiring me to do the same." J. Jess B., thank you for leaving that message. I'm so glad you feel inspired to shift the narrative. We're so grateful for you and your family. Don't forget, listeners, to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And then we might read it here, not next week, but in a few weeks to come when we come back from our break, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But now we're going to talk about the holidays, friends. We're in it.
You guys, I have fun news to share about that.
Ooh. Yes.
Okay. My brother just recently moved back from Texas and he moved in with us. So we've had just the best time he's 28. He's fun, energetic. I have three boys. You know, he does the wrestling and the twirling around.
Yes.
He'll play basketball with Sunny because I was a dancer and she is a sports girl.
I love
it. Would have me toss her a ball all day. That's her thing. mom, baseball, basketball.
Love
and
that.
He does that. And, I don't know. It's just been really nice for like the first time in a long time to have consistent family for holidays and those special things.
That's so sweet. And today is Brave's birthday.
And today my brave Lara is 3. He will tell you he's 4, but he's 3.
Fine. He's lying.
And anytime he would get, you know, cause Brave, he's the youngest and he's a spitfire and so cute and a little naughty, which I love also because we don't watch him that closely. So he's just literally doing what he wants. Anytime we would be like, Brave, no, thank you, blah, blah. He would tell us that we were ruining his birthday
for ever.
You're ruining my birthday, you know, and like you haven't even had it yet. It's not your birthday. So today he probably is going to say, and I'd be like, you know what? I'm sorry if I am, but you're being naughty.
You're ruining my walls. You're ruining my couch.
It's the table, the kitchen table. He's forever on top of our kitchen table and falling off chairs. And it's a thing.
Oh, I love it. So Brave. Happy birthday. So fun. He's such a love.
He is a love.
Little tiny guy. And then we're almost to Christmas, you guys. 5 days.
5 days.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Christmas.
Wow. You guys, I'm sure all of our listeners are done with all the tasks. They've gotten all the presents. They're all wrapped up. All they have left to do is sip apple cider or peppermint hot chocolate and watch Hallmark movies.
For 5 days straight.
That's a wish for you, friends.
That's my wish for me. tell me more. How do we achieve that?
Oh, everything has to be done. You guys, I did buy wrapping paper back in November.
Wow.
And I bought one for each kid because I remember a friend of mine told me that her parents would do that. Was it ever, honey? Did you ever have your own wrapping
paper? My mom never did that. No, I've seen people do that, but no, we never did that.
I'm so excited I did that. And that's like all I've done. That's all I did early.
That's great.
I felt like I landed the plane after that. Like I had arrived as a Christmas mom by getting each child. I peaked early is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I love it.
And then I love it. Scrambled doing the other actual present buying part. But it's done.
We did set everybody up here. So that if you are listening to the podcast, no excuses, because November 22nd, episode 189, we gave you everything you needed in terms of gifts to buy, including links. So if you are 5 days out listening to this episode in a bit of a panic, go visit that show and listen and find those show notes for links to things to buy. And good luck with shipping. Just maybe you actually just need to go downtown.
Take it all back. Too late.
You take it all back. Take a picture of it and wrap the picture and say it's coming.
The amount of times we wrap pictures at my house is
real. Do you really?
It's real.
Oh my gosh. That is funny to me.
That's mostly August stuff. It's always sorry, dude.
The amount of times my brother has gotten just the day of text message of an Amazon gift card. You know how they do that straight to the email?
Yeah.
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We did an episode this time last year. It's episode 144. You guys, we are just a handful of episodes away from our 200th episode, which is really exciting. But episode 144, and we talked about how to keep the holidays happy. And we're just going to touch on that a little bit more going into Christmas this year. We recognize that going into the holiday season is so different for everybody. And depending on where you're at with family dynamics, with your own kids. I mean, Micah, if you want to share about with like having recently lost a loved one, it can be very tender and fragile, and it can be all fun and excitement and everything in between, right? Like there's a financial piece. There's just so many pieces that we recognize and hold all that with everybody listening. That it's not just all Hallmark movies and that we can also have those sweet moments and how we learn how to do around here. It's that both and holding both at the same time. So let's talk about it, ladies.
Do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Micah, how do you feel about sharing about going into the holidays with everything with your family
Well, I'm happy to share. This is, this is airing on the 20th, and I'm just coming back from a trip to be with my mom and my brothers and my nieces and nephews. I went by myself for the actual day of my dad's passing. So that's December 16th. And I think at least like the way that I'm feeling, you know, I haven't gotten to Christmas Day yet, so I don't know how that will feel. But I'm grateful that my dad passed at a time when we were all together and we were already like thinking about the holidays, but we were also able to like have his funeral before the days leading up to Christmas and sort of make that transition last year where we had that the hard week of losing him, the hard days leading up to the funeral. And then when the funeral happened, my mom said to all of us, we are going to have a fun Christmas. and my mom loves Christmas.
She loves Christmas, right? Like it's her thing. Yeah.
And she loves giving gifts, and she was able to do it. And it was able to, like, it was not, of course we were grieving and of course it was hard. But it was also sweet, and we had fun together as a family, and we were able to like share the grief and the joy together. So we usually do Chris and I have always gone back and forth, like Christmas with his family, Christmas with my family the next year. And so obviously last year we had Christmas with my family. So that's part of why I decided to go have that time around my dad's death day and have that week with my family. And then Chris and I are going to see his dad and his mom for Christmas this year, wake up in our own house with the kids, have Christmas morning at our house. And then my nephew is getting married in early January back in Texas. So it's even though I'm not going to be there actual Christmas day, I'm going to be able to go back and be with my family the first week of January and celebrate his wedding. So, and of course, all the first things are hard. And it's, I know that for my mom, it's been really hard for my nephew to have this exciting, wonderful thing happening and her not be able to share that with my dad. So I think honestly for my family, Christmas will probably be easy. I think, you know, last week of walking through the anniversary was hard, and that there'll be some hard parts to my nephew's wedding and just my dad not being there for it. But I appreciate that we are kind of as a family good at laughing even as we're going through hard things. And I'm really grateful that I get to share all of that with them.
Thank you, Micah.
You're welcome.
Beautiful. I like you and your family. I love always hearing about what is it, cousin camp, and the way you guys support each other is very, very sweet.
Good, for sure. I know. The holidays just a time when it's like being with family and then remembering who's not there, and then when the loved one who's not there passed away right around the holidays too. It's just that double layer, and the first time going through all that and all of it can make the holidays heavy. Other things, since we're talking about heavy things, other things that can make the holidays heavy. And we've talked about this, and we just want to recognize and stand in solidarity with our listeners who feel this way. When you're with a lot of family who doesn't understand your loved one with Down syndrome, or you might have family who still is like, well, let's just pray this away, or your kid with Down syndrome, because of their sensory needs or other needs, isn't participating in Christmas like you would want, right? Or like your family would expect, that missed expectation, because sometimes our kid with Down syndrome isn't going to sit down and focus on opening a toy and thanking grandma and grandpa and giving them a hug and then playing with the toy. And, you know, how do you guys, I guess, feel going into the holidays with that sometimes being an aspect, and what are ways that what are things you've learned over the years?
So I've noticed more recently with my family, and there, it's all in good support, but I always find myself being like, not fake, but having this like weird, like, oh yeah, thank you, I know, she's great. I'm getting a lot of, which is so wonderful, but it's still a weird thing to navigate, since we always talk about the worth of a person with Down syndrome and all that. And it's in these little moments that I'm like, it's re-brought up to me. But I often get praised like, oh, you and Andy are doing such a good job with Sunflower. Like, look at her. Like, and they'll be like watching her open a present, you know, mm-hmm. and like, oh, you know, oh my gosh, she's running and jumping. Look at her, you know? And I'm like, I do life with her, and that's actually her personality. Like, she is so capable. She's like a kid, mm-hmm. you know? So it's sometimes hard for me to fully embrace that compliment, which seems so minute, but like, I feel like there's more nuance behind that kind of compliment, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, oh yeah, thanks. Oh, look at her. She just finished that puzzle. That one was a 45 piece, you know? And I'm like, yeah, she likes that kind of stuff. She's doing it. Like, it's great because me as a mom, like, since I do daily life with her, maybe I just have gotten to this spot where I'm not always praising the little moments and the little mm-hmm. steps, because now she's older and these little milestones aren't as big anymore. Now she's kind of doing awesome and big things, and we're living life. I don't know how to explain it, mm-hmm. but I always get a little weirded out, but like, you could tell that I'm struggling to fully embrace that. And I'm like, oh, okay. Kind of like, yeah, she's 9 and she's right. a human and she's Sunflower. Of course you can do that.
They're not like saying it about Rhodes. They're not like, you know, look at what Rhodes. Yeah. It's just Sunny. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's just Sunny. So it's a weird, odd thing to navigate, because it's not negative, but it doesn't feel too positive. Cause I don't know how to describe that, but
right.
And I'm already anticipating it.
Yeah.
There's so many parts of the things we've talked about, like where you are probably in that moment going, well, let me tell you about the worth of Sunny outside of what she does. And not every person with Down syndrome does this when they're 9, but also, you know, she naturally wants to, and it's not just because I'm a great mom. It's
right.
You know, like all of those, there's so many feelings to that. And it's hard not to get on a soapbox and start teaching everyone.
Yes. I want you guys. So what would you say? I guess I'm bringing it up because I need some terms to go to, so I don't sound like a brat, because I'm like, oh yeah, because she's human and she knows how to do a puzzle. Like I don't know how to sometimes like fake the nice praises. Like, what do you do with that? Like, you just like smile and nod. I don't know. But you know, those are the little family meetup moments that you're just like, okay.
Yeah. I think it depends who it is. Like, if it's like my sisters saying things, then I think not necessarily on the spot, but eventually like a follow-up conversation of, I noticed this, because I have conversations like that with them.
Yeah.
But if it's like auntie from wherever, then I do think it's okay to decide what energy you want to extend. And I think it's okay to be like, yeah, smile, you know, and I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's great that she did that one thing that she's been doing for years and is just in nature. It's so silly, but those are the moments that for now in our season that we're in now, that I'm just like, wow, my family is still being shocked by her capabilities because they have her at a certain level to be, what I think I interpret it as. You have low expectations. Mm-hmm. So then you're shocked by all her movements, I feel like. I don't know.
That's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. How much do you, I mean, I get it. You're right, Heather. It depends on the relationship. But mm-hmm. do you ever feel like before you go to these family events, you need to like set expectations in advance? I mean, I'm just thinking about, like, as a parent, I've learned over time to be like, listen up, kid. Remember that when we get to this place, we're going to be expected to do this. And mm-hmm. like, you're, this is what I expect from you. You're going to talk to the people and you're going to look them in their eyes, all that. I mean, that's a parenting thing.
Yeah.
But like, how much do you need to prepare your extended family members ahead of time to be like, listen, I just want to remind you that Ace is not going to say thanks when you give him a present. And we're working on saying hi, though. And we're, you know, we want him to say hi and bye. And that's success for him right now. Like, have you guys ever felt like you needed to prep family members in advance for where your child is at in terms of development?
No, but I'm going to now. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
it is a good idea. It's really great because it could be.
I don't think I have either. I haven't done that, but maybe I should.
Yeah, because it could be lighthearted and almost like a, you know, like you do a family letter.
Yeah.
For with your Christmas card. It's almost like that, which I feel like genuinely people feel more comfortable being prepped, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than just in the moment. Yeah. Oh, so Sunny's not saying thank you for the stuff. Like mm-hmm. what? And having a preconceived notion. My thing mostly talking to my kids this year now is, please don't ask for more presents from the person. If they got you one thing, say thank you.
That's a good prep. I do feel like that was an early parenting hack where I was like, I don't want to just be reactive. Like, you say thank you right now,
yes.
You know, in their ear. Like, we should talk about this ahead of time and what's expected when you open grandma's presents and that you give her a hug. And
yes.
Yeah. It really does depend on the person. Cause I can think of people that I could ahead of time be really intentional like that. And then they'd be like, oh, of course, of course, of course. And then it would happen. And it, you know, like one in ear out the other where you're like, oh, it doesn't really matter. And then other people who would be like, whoa, I'd never thought of that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes.
But I think, I mean, I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, which if you know what that means or you don't, and that's fine both ways, but expectations are really huge for me. And it's something I'm constantly working on because I set myself up with expectations. And then anytime I do that, I'm let down every time. My expectations are never met, even as low as I set them. And this is always a constant thing because that's on me. I can't project onto other people, you know? So I think there is a piece for me in going into the holidays is how I have to check myself in that, you know, my kids are not, they don't represent me. In a sense they do, but they're their own people. And I'm doing the best I can as their mother to raise them to Christmas Day of 2022, right? And and I can't project myself onto them and them onto my parents on a family, and family can't project themselves onto them. And so that's, I have to check myself a lot in, if I have a missed if I'm feeling disappointed in how something turned out in a holiday, what was I expecting that was unrealistic and unreasonable, an unreasonable expectation to put in place? That meant other people had to do something that was outside of my control. Does that make sense? Like and that's not fair for any of us, right? Like for anybody. So I think it depends on the person and what's in our control and what's not. And like remembering how much in a large family Christmas is out of our control, and just kind of like leaning into what is and trying to navigate ahead of time what you need to for your kids. Like August is super, super introverted, and he loves his family, and 20 minutes in, literally his cup is empty. Like he's like, ooh, he cannot give anymore or be in the space, and he needs to go be alone. And so that awareness piece is really important that no, he's not being rude. Like he can't be in the space anymore. He's got nothing left to give. So he's going to go do what he needs to do to refill his cup, and then he'll come back out, and he might not try on the present that you gave him in front of everybody, you know, and that's okay. And
oh my gosh, totally.
Your disappointment in my kid is not something that I'm going to be responsible for.
Yes.
And it feels like something that is like worth as a parent thinking through, like what does really matter here? Like here's of course, like what these people expect and what do I expect from my child whether my child has Down syndrome or not, like here's what it means to our family to be grateful. And here's how we're going to find a way to help you do that. Or here's what it means for Augie to go get his alone time in a kind and thoughtful way, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe that means having a social story where you're talking for some time before the actual family event, saying, like, you're going to open presents. And when you do, here's what we want you to do. If you feel overwhelmed, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, preparing so that there aren't these, maybe there's not massive breakdowns and tears, but if there are, how are you going to respond to that? And what are you going to do in that situation?
Yeah, totally.
I think we've talked about before, cause I don't know if on the episode or just as friends, but, also like gearing ourselves up for how we want to react in those situations, you know, and mentally prepping, like, okay, if I think, and maybe you even just mentioned it, Heather, like when, if my child, like if Sunflower is grumpy, all of a sudden has now shifted, her mood has shifted and now she's grumpy, how I'm not gonna, let my own emotions or like, hey, I want her to be this way, get in the way. So I'm personally gearing up to be like, I'm gonna let my kids be my kids. It's not a reflection on me. I'm not gonna be embarrassed or try to like make up for it or something like that. That's been a huge thing for me and with all my kids, because I have three boys who are climbers. I would have to have conversations with like, no, you don't jump on great grandma heights. Okay.
Right.
You have to be gentle, like in dying of embarrassment, you know, and kind of just like trying to manage if all of the kids are being appropriate while also hosting can be hosting. That's in itself can be tricky. If you have a child with a disability, you're hosting, but you're also trying to keep them in their best positive, you know, selves, you know, that can be so tricky. I've learned from past to be a good delegator of help. If Sunny is going to need to have some show time, okay, when are we going to insert that in? Because this is going to be a long family day that's going to spill in tomorrow. Like me and Andy usually try and do a game plan of like, do we need to be out of the house for a chunk of time so that when we're in the house, they're not bouncing off people's laps.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like it's just a whole bigger planning that does take some effort, but like I encourage you, especially if you're hosting, that is so a big stressor, you know, and our kids with disabilities feel that. Mm-hmm. And a game plan. Get out of the have someone get them out of the house too. So that you know, split that time up, make that day look different so that it goes well. I think that was a huge one for me, adjusting myself and my attitude.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And get your kids to the playground if you live in Southern California and you can go outside. But also like there are like a bag of tricks. If your kid is sensory seeking or needs some sensory breaks, there's a way to, you can bring along. They don't just have to play with their new toys. You know,
right.
If you need to get them into, you know, Auntie Grace's side room.
Yes.
And put a squeezy room blanket around them or something. You know, like give them their chances to be alone, get their squeezes in there, get whatever they need to do to feel safe and secure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think with that too, planning ahead, like dietary and instead of feeling like irritated that so-and-so again added gluten or again added dairy or whatever. And you've said so many times, bring the gluten-free thing, you know, bring the gluten-free bread and the dairy-free cheese and make a little grilled cheese sandwich on the side. And and again, other people's opinions of that are not your responsibility.
Right.
And so that feels like a big one when you're around a lot of people who you don't see a lot. They're going to have opinions about how you parent and how your kids behave. And none of that's yours to hold. That's not your responsibility to hold.
And I love that, Heather, because then it's nice to not have that expectation that because like we're primarily for sunflower gluten-free that, you know, someone so-and-so's famous rolls.
Yeah.
Okay. So-and-so also didn't make new famous rolls. That right. Gluten-free.
Yeah.
Like it's like, okay, I'm going to make this effort. Let's not even get my hopes up. Yeah. Now totally. I have a new thing. Maybe. I don't know. Like for it's the past, nice.
For the past 2 years for Thanksgiving, I found this little gluten-free, dairy-free, tiny pumpkin pie recipe that is really cute. So I've been able to make for Ace his own little miniature pumpkin pies
that's
to take
so
to
cute.
These things. And I think that's
link that.
I think that's fair. Yeah, we will link it. When it's hard for families to adjust to new dietary restrictions and there's so much tradition and emotions around the food that gets served. Yeah. So no need to like start a fight. Just bring along what they need. And I think too, if there's any family members who are listening to this, first of all, good on you, extended family members preparing and listening to this. But like, I think an amazing thing to tell the mother or father of a child with Down syndrome, instead of like what Mercedes is talking about of like, good job, she could do a puzzle. Wow. to be somebody who's like, I really appreciate how thoughtful you are about how, you know, your kid experiences today, or thank you for all you do to give him the food he needs and the way you've prepared ahead of time. Like those kinds of acknowledgments go a long way and a lot better than like, look at your kid who can run, which is not helpful.
I like your voice. I like your.
I do like that country voice.
Look at that boy. He's like a real kid.
Yes.
He's wearing a shirt.
He's wearing a shirt. Yeah, Sunny wears shirts now. That's how I feel.
Right.
Like,
yeah. It feels like that. It feels like
fun.
That. Yes. And I would say it along those lines, like, if you're an extended family member, you're hosting and you have someone coming who is bringing their child with Down syndrome, reaching out ahead of time and saying, hey, what can I do in advance to help make this as enjoyable for all your family as possible?
Yes.
I think that would be amazing, right? Could you imagine if someone said that ahead of time? And then it's not, we always talk about this, like the pressure is always on, the onus is on the family who has the kid with a disability. And so it's really, it can be really sweet if you're listening and you're going to be hosting somebody or showing up. I think that's really sweet. Something I'm anticipating in this next holiday that is interesting, for the listeners who have teenagers, just Macy transitioning into her teenage years. It's interesting because it feels more isolating because I don't feel like this social media spaces and even this podcast are a place. There's no, I don't think public forums are appropriate anymore to bring concerns to, you know, because her friends can listen in and her friends can follow along and she can, and she's 14. And so, it can feel isolating. And so I am careful what I say, and I say a lot less. And I think that's the right thing to do. And being in situations with family and peers who have always been like the pal, the gap between my 14-year-old with Down syndrome and my 15-year-old niece without is just massive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In terms of like what their social interests are, there's like these huge gaps. And at the same time, I know in Mason, there's this desire to be that teenage girl and to know and to be accepted and included. She doesn't want to go play with the littles. She wants to play with the teenagers.
Yeah.
And so that just feels really weighty. Like it feels tricky because it's hard to then make a plan with teenagers.
Yes.
You know,
totally. Yeah.
Like you say to the parents or to the kids themselves, like, hey, when you go do this thing, that's like a typical teenage thing. Can you please include Mason? And, but then it's like hard for Mason to feel to include herself. And so that's all, it all feels like a catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
It gets really I don't know, really interesting.
You brought up a good point because Sunny can kind of be the same way where, okay, I've done the work ahead of time, talked to them, and her peers want to, even family members want to include her, and then she doesn't receive it.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Then they're like, I don't know, we tried. She doesn't want to anymore. Then you're like, right. Okay, give me a minute. And then again, you're like, okay, so-and-so. It is so much to manage because too, I keep going with the longevity. Holidays are like all day long, you know, and like maybe even a weekend long. And all those little moments of making sure the cousins are interacting, or how long has Sunny been on her own watching a show? Is she experiencing the holidays? You know, like I've been stuck in those moments before too, of like someone did meet me halfway. And then in that moment, Sunny did not, you know, and what do you, I don't know, miss moment. I don't know. What do you do?
Yeah. I mean, in the next couple of days, I'm going to be going to my sister's house, and I have two sisters, and my oldest has three kids who are 17, 15, and 13. And my younger sister has two kids who are six and four, and my parents. So it's a smallish group. There's not like extended out past that. And we're very, very close. And so I feel like with this scenario, I can and will go into it very upfront about things, and the sisters and I then planning intentional time, because because there's that sense, there's the Down syndrome piece, but then there's just like the thing that's so awesome, I find, about parenting our kids with Down syndrome in these kinds of settings is it makes us have to think uniquely about parenting in general, because the gap between this 4-year-old and the 17-year-old, how do we make something meaningful for them at the same time? Right. You know what I mean?
It really does make everything inclusive.
Yeah, totally. Then,
yes. For the whole family experience. I love that, Heather.
Yeah. So then it's like thinking intentionally. So, and again, this is a dynamic in which we can do that because we have those kinds of relationships.
Yes. I hear you.
And we could miss it too. And then feel frustrated, or I would feel frustrated. I don't know how other people would feel. I would find myself frustrated at a lack of intentionality, because I think at the end of the day, if we're going to be getting a bunch of family members together and all the dynamics and the ages, and we have a kid with Down syndrome, that awareness piece and being intentional up front can make or break a day, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we have to choose to do it and make a plan. And I think plans are good for all of us.
They save a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
I think, or expectations. Okay, I'm going to make a plan. Now I'm trying to think of the activities. I love that. That includes everyone. Not just because I have a daughter with Down syndrome, but because we have some age ranges and intentionality.
Yeah.
The other.
Yeah. And I we talk about it all the time, and I feel like we've already mentioned it a little bit in this episode, but for our kids with Down syndrome, setting them up with social stories for anything, it's such a powerful, great tool. And I feel like I use them and have always used them even with Truly, just not necessarily with like picture representation, with visual representation, but like, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. This is how we're doing it. And this is what the outcome is, you know, and having those expectations in place for the things that are in our control, help our kids so much. And even with like the kids, like almost having some kind of a conversation around, there's a lot out of our control, and this is how we respond to that. You know, like here are ways you can respond when everything feels out of control. You can go into this space. You can come pat me on the shoulder and we'll go do a thing, or whatever it is that you plan as a family. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Doing a good job, everybody. Good.
Yes. Doing such a good job. The holidays are beautiful and can also be stressful and even hurtful, but we will set up our families and ourselves well.
Yes. And it's not too late.
And it's not too late at all. You got 5 days, 4 days. You got 4 days to get a plan. Tons of time. Okay, friends, let's go for a break and then come back with some good news. Heather, what do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
Okay. See you soon.
All right, friend. The Lucky Few Foundation believes every story matters. We also know that understanding Down syndrome is not the same as knowing and understanding a real live person with Down syndrome. That's why we are committed to sharing and telling the stories of people with Down syndrome and those who love them. This last summer in 2022, we were able to go out onto a storytelling tour and gather more than 200 stories, which are found over at thelucky few foundation.org. This year on Giving Tuesday, today, we've set up a campaign with a goal of $20,000 to fund the 2023 tour as we continue to shift the Down syndrome narrative and tell your stories. With your help, the Lucky Few Foundation can reach this goal and continue the work we've set out to do in this campaign. Head over to theluckyfewfoundation.org to give today. And thank you in advance.
Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you guys, Micah had to bow out, everybody. So Micah silently left the room, but she waved to us. We knew it was happening. And she loves you all very much. This is our last episode of the year. And then we're going to take a few weeks off, but not off. We're going to be revisiting some of our favorite episodes in the past, from this past year. So you're going to get to listen to a favorite of each of us. Hear a little bit why it's our favorite and get to revisit those episodes in the next weeks to come. And then back in January, towards the end of January, we're going to be back at it, reaching for our 200th episode, and it's going to be epic. You won't want to miss it, friends. You won't want to miss any second with us. Mm-hmm. This is what we've been told. Okay. we tell ourselves.
This is what you've written in and told us, you guys.
I love it.
Oh my goodness.
Heather, do you have any good news?
I do have good news. We did a musical theater class and all three kids were in it. The performance happened, and then they also Mason and August took a dance class. Augie took tap. Macy took musical theater dance through the same organization. And so when they do their big play, they also have the dance, like the dance classes come. And then Truly took an acting class through the same thing. So it was basically from start to finish, and Avis Kid was in one of the performances.
Oh, my goodness. So fun.
Theater, man. They're my favorite.
So Sunny does theater class, but it's just like a dance. And then I didn't think of this when we put her in. Because it sounds more like what you're saying. They're also in a dance class. So Sunny does musical theater dance class, but they do one with speaking parts and like talking, and they sing the whole time. Yeah. And that's not Sunflower Strength, and she's rising to it. And it's makes me cry every time. Cause I'm like, I can hear her. I can hear her, a little tone deaf. It's precious, a little off. And I'm like, everybody, that's my daughter.
Okay, I have to share with Macy. Macy just wants to sing her little heart out, everything. And it doesn't matter if she's saying the actual word. She gets the notes and the tone, right? Yes. And so she hits where every word is with at least a sound. Yes. And the way that this theater class works, it's so great. They do like a 8 or 12 weeks, I don't know how long it's been, sessions. And in the script, every person has a solo at some point. Wow. And so it could be one line, it could be three lines, whatever it is. Every kid gets a solo. And so August's skill set is such that he can hit his line and do it. Mm-hmm. And Mason's is such that she just needs a lot of support with the speech part. But two quick stories, friends. Sorry. So she did, during one of the rehearsals, it was a song, Zero to Hero from Hercules, was the song. And the theme is heroes and villains. So every song is some kind of attached to the theme, heroes and villains. So Zero to Hero, and her solo is not in Zero to Hero. And so they're practicing the singing part, and there are 40 kids in this class. It's huge. And the one teacher, And they, he's like pointing, like when it's someone's turn, and Mason is just belting the whole song, right? And she's just singing the whole thing. And it is not her turn because she does not have a solo in this song. And so everyone's like fine about it though, right? Because at the actual performance, she won't be mic'd. Only the people with solos are mic'd per song, but she's belting it. And then it's like, Mason, this isn't your part. And she's like, okay, I'm sorry. And then it's like the next one, she just can't help herself. But her solo was one that she had four lines that were really tricky. Oh, I wish I could remember it right on the spot. And then a line that a back and forth. So the next person said their line. And then the next line is supposed to be, it's true. And so when it came time for her to start rehearsing her song, I just said, we had practiced, and it just, the number of words in a row is not something that she's able to do yet. And so I said to the teacher, like, could someone come alongside and support her in this? And he's like, absolutely. So I said, what if the person beforehand does her line, and then she does the it's true line. And so it was time for her line, and they practiced it, and then it executed it with the girl, Carter. I think I can say her name because no one knows. Come alongside Mason, and Mason did her like the way that she talks. So Carter said the line clearly, and Mason just said like that, like she did the cadence of it and her own words for it, like the first word she usually got and the second word, the last word. And then when it was time, the person in the line, and then she said, it's true. Like that was her own line. And it was just so sweet. Like nobody was frazzled by it. Nobody was like, well, wait, how does this work? Or wait, this isn't how it works. Or exactly. The kid who supported her in the line did it with like, they just got it. Like did it with such dignity.
Like, and wait, Mason, she didn't say the actual line. They didn't have to stop. They didn't think twice about it. Isn't that the best?
Yes,
it is.
So that was my longest good news ever. Thanks for listening to those stories. It was just sweet. I know. So all that to say is do the speaking one with Sunny, and then she's going to show up however she's going to show up, you know?
I know. I'm excited about that because truth be told, we are airing this or we're recording this before she's actually done her Christmas. So they're going to do it in December. She's going to have that moment. And I mean, the prep that goes even into that, I have to think about.
So much.
It's always about it's Sunny's day that day, and I can't talk about how there's going to be performance at the end of the day, because if I talk about it too soon, I've worn her out about it by the time the performance happens. Mm-hmm. So I am thankful and excited to have found a place, which I feel like you are too, because I've known you for a while, that when they just get it, and she can show up however she's going to, and everybody else will fall into place with what they need to do. And I'm excited and hopeful that Sunflower will get on stage that night and do her thing.
Yes. So good. So good.
I have a good news from our friend, Not Your Ordinary Sam. They say, we are headed to Ventura this weekend for a walk on water surf therapy. And you know, guys, I love that. We haven't actually done,
you've done walk on water
surf therapy. Andy has worked with them in the past doing videos with a walk on water, and it's there. We are big, huge fans. We have found through our homeschool charter an awesome program that does surf lessons with Sunflower.
That's amazing.
And it's really beautiful and a commitment, because I am getting my kiddo out in that water, getting the wetsuit on, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a process.
It's a process.
It's not just throwing on some tap shoes.
No, it's a weekly commitment. But I have seen just so much benefit from if you can do surf therapy.
It's amazing.
Huge.
And I like, just Sunflower is just going to be this like long blonde haired surf
babe. It's in her.
You can't even stand it. Mercedes is living vicariously.
I'm like, look at your long blonde hair. She's starting to get freckles. And I did have an adoptive mom moment of like, is it because you get sunburned, or am I not putting in proper
like proper sunblock skin care on or whatever?
You? Because I am of black brown skin. Yeah. So I'm like in my fair daughter. Like I'm having that, you know, like maybe a mom who is white feels about the hair of their black child. I feel that about my daughter's skincare and her freckles.
Sure.
And even more so now that she surfs, I'm like, oh Lord. But yes, she is the Orange County like blonde surfer girl that I thought I would be, that I really, really wasn't.
Oh, it's so good. It makes me want to move down to the beach. I mean, so many reasons.
But now we're in San Diego. Now she's a San Diego beach blonde girl. And she's loving it. And I'm loving watching her.
It's so cool. It's so fun to find a thing our kids enjoy, whatever it is.
Yes.
And then to pour into it. It's really, really special. Yeah. Very cool. Well, Walk on Water, Surf Therapy. I think they're on a break now, but they are a good
organization. Get on their email list.
Yes. And they used to just have like open call. And then during COVID, they had to change it up. And now it's just, you have to sign up literally within the first 30 seconds or you don't get a spot.
Yeah.
Which is why we've only been twice.
And why I've never been.
Yeah. It's not necessarily in both of our skill set. I have another mom text me like, it's coming up in an hour. Don't forget. I'm like, oh, yes. I'm at Target. Like,
And then you're like sweating to get the Wi-Fi.
Right. Totally. And it's not soon enough. And you're like, I missed it again. Anyway, we'll get there again. Okay. Time to wrap up this episode, friends. We just want you to know that as you go into this holiday season, you are not alone. However, whatever your circumstances are, we want you to know that. And we love you. And we're holding all of the good, the hard, the stressful, the beautiful, all of it with you and leaning in to what it is. And so with that, Josh Avis, thanks for editing this episode, Val Schleter for producing, and Ashley for managing our social media.
If you like this episode, share it with your family and friends, which I highly recommend since we're talking about the holidays and being all together with family and friends. Don't forget to subscribe and check us out on the luckyfewpodcast.com for all our show notes.
And be sure to follow along on social media. The Lucky Few Pod will probably be sharing. We will be sharing some holiday moments from Mercedes, Micah, and myself. And listener, you're slaying it. We love you so much. And we're always cheering you on. Happy holidays to all. Can't wait to be together next year. See you then. Be together then. Listen then. In your earbuds then. I don't know.
I love that. Happy almost New Year.
Woo! All right, bye.
Bye.